Good morning. Lovely to see lots of people who are back from uni or not seen for a couple of weeks, been away over Christmas or who are just visiting. Welcome to all of you and the rest of you too who are just here all the time. You're welcome as well. Mostly. We're beginning, as Helen's mentioned, a series on the Psalms, and you'll be pleased to know we're not doing it from beginning to end. We're not taking several years. This will be selected Psalms working through, looking at some different themes, some different types of Psalms. They're classified in all sorts of different ways, so we'll pick up on a bit of that as we go. And trying to get into the Psalms. I found Psalms quite a hard book to read. I don't know if others have found that. If you've read the Bible in a year or you've thought, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll read the Psalms because that seems like a nice thing to read. And suddenly as you get into it, you find that actually, I'm finding this hard to make sense of. It's not like when Paul writes letters and you get that he's kind of teaching stuff. It's not like when you're reading about a story. Sometimes you're thinking, how do I make sense of this? How do I connect with what this is really about? And we're going to look at some different Psalms, trying to help us understand a little bit there of what's going on and how we might read the Psalms a little better. We talked a little bit about New Year's resolution and starting the year and how we begin. I can offer you the way to a blessed year. Would you like to have a blessed year? That's a better response than I thought, actually. You've done nicely. I was ready to say, no one. Good, we'll stop then. The opening to the Psalms offers us just that. It offers us the way to a blessed year. It offers us a way to a year of goodness, of delight, of worth, of fruitfulness, of feeling of something that's been productive and worthwhile. Psalms begins with Psalm 1. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one is how it begins. The opening to Psalm 1, the opening to the whole book of Psalms, begins by saying, blessed is the one. It's offering us something there of the key, saying what coming next is the key, is the way to the good life, the way that things should be. Offering us the key to a blessed year. But not just a year, a blessed life. But how is it that we're starting here? How is it that we're beginning Psalms by actually saying this, blessed is the one? How are we starting Psalms by thinking about us? When we think about Psalms, when maybe we look to read Psalms, we think, well, Psalms, it's all about praising God, isn't it? It's all about praise the Lord, oh my soul, about God's everlasting love. It's all about him. In fact, sometimes preachers and so forth like to have a little rant about modern worship songs and how much they're so much about us and not about God. And we need to get back to songs that are all about God. And then we come to the opening of the Psalms and it starts not by talking about God, but by talking about us. Blessed is the one. And when we come to Psalms, we come actually to read a book that's about people and their relationship with God. That's about people writing songs, writing prayers in their relationship with him. Psalms, by a lot of people over a lot of years, has been read as a prayer book, as prayers to God. And actually, when we read it that way, actually, it comes to help us in how we read some of the tricky bits, some of the bits we struggle with, how actually we understand what's going on, how we make sense of when we get even just to Psalm 3. Lord, how many are my foes? Psalm 3 begins. How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Then actually, we come to this, and it's actually people writing, praying, singing their prayers, their praise. Actually, as we begin Psalm 1, it's the prayer of someone who's been blessed by God, who's known God's blessing, who knows how it works. And Psalms sit within the context then of the whole of the Bible. It's within the context of the storybook of God, of his relationship with his people. Some of them relate in particularly to certain things that are going on in the Old Testament, and we can put them in their context of what's going on at that time. Some of them we can see the context and how they sit into parts of the New Testament. There's all sorts of quotations from the Psalms in the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at some of those and how the Bible sits together, how the New Testament writers were quoting and lifting from the Psalms. As we head towards Easter, this series runs up to Easter, we'll be looking at how some of the Psalms touch very deeply with the events leading up to Easter Sunday. How the Bible sits together and how Psalms plays a central part in that. Psalm 1 you could classify as a wisdom psalm. It's a psalm about someone looking at the law of God and meditating on it and seeing the blessings in it. And as we look at it, it's something actually really helpful for us as we start this year. As we go through a time where maybe we're doing some looking forward and some looking back and considering life, the universe and everything. It's a chance to consider and to reflect. And Psalm 1 helps show us that there is a choice to be made. That we face a choice. And Psalm 1 presents it very much as that there's two ways for us to live. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. And this contrast is made first off by what that blessed one does not do. Blessed is the one who does not. There's this contrast being made as to what it's going to mean to live and to experience this blessed life. And it starts off by saying what we do not do. Who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Already we see something of the Psalms, of how beautifully poetic it is. There's this beautiful poetry in walk, in stand, in sit. And actually there's so much that we can see into that, into what the writer is getting at. He does not walk in the step with the wicked. Who does not deliberately journey with those who are actively promoting evil, actively seeking to do wrong. Does not stand in the way that sinners take. Isn't going to stand with those who miss God's standards and just don't care. Or sit in the company of mockers. To watch who we're influenced by. To watch what actually are the greatest influences in our lives. In both time and significance. What is it that we surround ourselves with? Is it with those who are going to lead us towards God? Or those things that is going to lead us away from him? What actually do we allow to be the greatest influence in our lives? Some things it might be about time, about how much time we spend in certain things or even with certain people. Sometimes it might be about the strength of an influence, that there might just be that one thing that we know if we go there, it will lead us away from God in an instant. This invites us to think very carefully about what we allow to influence us. And of course, we're surrounded by all sorts of influences, are we? This isn't just about people, but this is about the media. This is about the films that we watch, the music we listen to, the radio, the TV, Facebook and Instagram. All these things that can influence us, that we consume, sometimes with very little thought. What's the greatest influence in our lives? And of course, we're going to be in the world, so we're going to be surrounded by all sorts of things. We can't possibly cut ourselves off from everything. But what do we allow to be the greatest influence in our lives? Ian Stackhouse puts this quite nicely as he reflects on this psalm and talks about, well, those that we walk with, soon we'll find we stand with, soon we find we sit with. That actually if we choose to walk in a direction, soon we'll find we're stood there, and then we'll find we're settled there. That if we choose to walk away from God, soon we'll find we're away from God. Soon we'll find we're settled there. What's the choice that we're making as to those who'll be our greatest influence? It describes that we have a choice, that there's a choice to make. Blessed is the one who does not. Blessed is the one who does not. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Who makes a decision to choose to engage with who God is, with his word and what he said. Who chooses to delight and to enjoy knowing more of God and in following him. Who makes it our passion and our desire to be obedient to him. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And who meditates on his law day and night. Who spends time thinking about it, who contemplates it, who considers it. But actually that word meditate is something a lot deeper and a lot richer than that. It's not just about spending time kind of chewing it over in your head or repeating a verse in your head. Actually, the word actually there means more than that. Tom Wright translated it as, they talk about his teaching day and night, to emphasize that this is actually more than just thinking about it in your head, but actually talking about it and sharing it with others. To dwell upon it and to consider it and to share it with others. To make this that big influence in your life. That is what you think about and what you talk about and what you choose to engage in. That this becomes your influence and that greatest part of your life. That there is a choice to be made. And actually, when you get into the way that this is described and the verbs that are used there, the verbs are used in two different ways. Those verbs in verse 1 describing to walk and to stand and to sit are all kind of settled things. Or a settled and a set way of being. And in that second verse, talking about meditating on God's word, delighting in him is an active practice. Is of doing and constantly doing and doing again and again. And there's something of that that's true in our spiritual lives. That it can be quite easy to become kind of spiritual couch potatoes. To just be stagnant and still. And to very easily then drift away. And what this psalm points us to is that the life of following God, of delighting in him, is about a constant practice. You don't just become a Christian and then sit back on the sofa and that's it. Actually, we're called to run a race with perseverance, to keep on going, to keep on learning, to keep on growing, to keep on practicing, to keep on engaging and learning from God's word. It's the call to keep on active and keep on going. I wasn't quite willing to confess to it earlier, but one of my things that I'd like to try and do a little bit more of this year is to do a little bit more exercise. I hide under a slim physique, a very unfit body. Who was that? It sounded a lot like Steve. Anyway. I've had points in my life where I've done some jogging or a bit more cycling, all these kind of things. And it's one of these things that when you're in a pattern of doing it, I think anyone who's done it knows, when you're in a pattern of doing it, it's easy just to keep going. But something happens that means you stop. You get a cold or an injury or something like Christmas or a holiday, and then you stop and you come back and you don't start again. And the hardest bit is picking it up again that first time. I read a thing once that said, actually, you should make your aim not to go and run 5K. Your aim should be put on the running shoes and get out the door, because you can do that, and then you'll probably find that you do go for a run. There's something of this can be true in our spiritual lives too. That actually we can drift away, we can stop, we can become settled and couch potatoes. And sometimes the hardest thing is to pick it up again. The call from the psalm is to say that there is a choice about whether you will delight and engage in God's word and all that he's got for you, or whether you will choose to sit away from it. We have a choice. But perhaps we feel that is too strong, this kind of clear line, this clear cut down the middle, it is too strong a thing in this psalm. And we'd happily see it a bit more grey and a bit more blurred and unclear than that. The words in verse 4 and 5, not so the wicked, they're like chaff, the wind blows them away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Or right at the end of the psalm, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. But maybe we feel these words are just too strong. That this is something of the law, and we're New Testament people of grace. But perhaps the alarming thing is, when you hold the Bible together, you see that Jesus says very similar things. He says this in Matthew chapter 7. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus uses a different image to make a very similar point. To say that there's a choice. That there is a choice about how we'll live, about what we'll do. There is a choice about the direction that we will take. That we're on a journey, and on that journey different paths and opportunities open up before us. And the reality is that choice that we face is a daily choice. The reason why so many of us fail in our New Year's resolutions is because it's all fine to make that resolution and make that choice on the 1st of January or the 6th of January. But the reality is, to keep those things up, we have to make that choice every day. Every week. Every month. And that's where it gets tough. It's not just a choice once, but every day that to make that decision, to make that choice. And the call for us is to make that choice each day. To seek after God, to follow Him, and to be obedient to His will. To make Him our aim, our delight, our joy. To seek Him day and night. We're presented with this clear choice between one way or another. And so, of course, then the challenge for us is to make it. Is to actually make that choice and to make that decision. So I want to encourage you to make a choice, if you don't already, to engage in God's word. To make it a regular pattern, a regular habit. Not just something that's once a week or on a Sunday, but regularly, every day if you can, to engage in God's word. And to seek what He has for you through that. To read it, to get back into that habit if you've fallen out of it. To start it if you've never had it before. To seek actually how you can come to know more of who Jesus is as you read the Bible. If you find it helpful and you want to follow along some things that we're looking at through this series, a couple of things I'd recommend just as helpful ways to engage with the Psalms. If you're in a regular pattern of Bible reading or not, you might like to have a look at one of these. Two books there, one by Tim Keller, which is daily devotionals throughout the year on the Psalms, and another book by a guy called Ian Stackhouse, who's a Baptist minister, who's written a few books. And has written a really good book on the Psalms that really helps engage with, well, what's going on with the author who's writing this? And it's just a short page each day looking at each Psalm. Some simple ways to look and engage with those things. They're both on Amazon. Other book retailers are available. If you use Kindle or got that, then actually the Tim Keller one is 99p on Kindle. It's a bargain. So easy ways to engage and to be thinking about Psalms as we look at them together through this year. I want to encourage you to get into the Bible. Last year, we gave out everybody, when we gave out a little letter to everybody, a little book called Spiritual Health Check. Maybe you had that book last year and it sat on your shelf for the year, or you know it's somewhere vaguely around. Maybe you never did it. It'd be a good time this year if you're wondering about how to think about where you're at with God. It's a great little thing just to work through over a few days to consider what's going on in your spiritual life, how we answer that question. If you weren't here then or you never got a copy, just ask me or Elsie. We've got some left around and we will happily give you one of those as a way of just engaging with what's going on and to reflect on your spiritual life. But it's more, this meditating on God's word, as I said, is more than just about you personally reading it and thinking about it. Actually, what it's talking about is about sharing with others. It's about journeying with others, journeying with the faithful. That actually we will be that great influence on one another. It's a little reminder to what we were talking about at our away day last year and through some of last year, about how we can help disciple one another as we journey together, as we share with each other, as we do this talking about God's word together. We weren't made to do this race, this Christian pursuit on our own, but to do it together. And that togetherness is more than just sitting together in a room on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. That togetherness is to talk and to share and to do life together. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't got that in your life, if you haven't got those who you talk about your faith and what's going on really in life, to put those in place. Might be through joining a home group. Might be just through chatting with one person and saying, would you like to meet up and to talk and to pray together and to look at God's word together? It might be doing that with just a few people. Might be with CBSI. Might be in a discipleship group. There's all sorts of ways that we can do those things together to bring that right influence into our lives and delight in God together. We need to make those choices. And then we reap as a result of those choices. Actually, what happens as a result of them? It's very clear what the Psalm's saying for those who choose not to follow God. That the wind blows them away. They don't stand within judgment. Ultimately, it leads to destruction. That one way or another, in the short term or the long term, judgment will come upon those who don't choose to follow in God's way. It makes it very clear what it's saying. So how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that challenge? Well, I think the best way for us to respond is to share the way of the righteous. Is to share what it means to follow God and what it means to obey him. And you should have had one of these already this year. Our verse for the year, which comes from Acts chapter 4. As for us, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. It's a little bit cryptic, but it's meant to point us to those early disciples who could not help telling people about what they knew of Jesus, about what they'd seen of him, of what they'd heard about him, of the blessings that they'd known from him. And what we want to be encouraging each other this year is to grow in that, to just not be able to help speaking about who Jesus is and what he's done. If you've not had one of these, then there's probably one in the foyer for you. Again, Elsie can sort that out if you haven't found that yet. Good, there you go. And for those who do seek after God, the promise is this fruitfulness. If that describes it in verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. It's this life that's provided for, that's sustained like a tree by a stream, that doesn't wither, but actually yields fruit in season. It's sustained and it bears fruit. Sometimes when we talk about being blessed, it can be twisted. To think about being blessed means, well, always being happy, or being blessed means always being wealthy, financially rich. And it can be twisted to actually not what the Bible describes it. The Bible doesn't say the rich are those who are blessed. Actually, the Bible talks about blessing in terms of fruitfulness. And there's a whole wealth of ways that fruitfulness is described in the Bible. And here are a few of them. The way that it describes this fruitfulness of this blessed life. It talks about, Paul writes in Romans, that he might have a harvest among you. He writes the Romans saying that he might have a harvest among you, as I did among the Gentiles. He's talking about reaping this harvest, this fruitful harvest of people coming to faith. The part of this fruitfulness, this fruit, is of seeing people come to believe in Jesus. The fruit's described in other places of growing in holiness. You reap holiness. Or the famous verses in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit is that growth in godly character. The part of this fruit of this blessed life is that we grow in becoming more like Jesus. Or in Colossians, Paul again writes, he talks about sort of fruitfulness in a different way, of pleasing God in every good, in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. That actually part of this fruitfulness is of serving, is of doing good works, doing those things that God has prepared for us to do. That's what this blessed and fruitful life looks like. Or in Hebrews, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly praise his name. The part of this fruitful life is a life that praises God, that points people to him in the way that we praise and we worship him. This is that fruitful life that's being described. And there's other ways too that the Bible goes on to describe what it means to be fruitful. But here's just a few of people coming to faith, of growing in godly character, of service and of good works, and of bringing praise to God. And actually, when we look at these things, we see that they're not things actually purely about me, but actually they're things about others. But actually, they're about how I impact upon others. Whether it's my character and the way that I treat people through that. Seeing others come to faith, how we might serve others or how we might praise God. That actually we see that we're a people who are blessed, that we might be a blessing to others. This is what that blessed and fruitful life looks like. This is what we're being offered and the way to it through Psalm 1 as we delight in God together. But what about when we're not feeling particularly blessed? There was some enthusiasm towards the offer of having a blessed year. And perhaps some of that comes from times when we felt that we are not living a blessed life. And perhaps sometimes we need to reevaluate and re-understand, well, what do we mean by being blessed? Other times we might need to look seriously at the choices that we've made. But other times, we recognise that actually we live in a tension, that things are not okay, and that things are a struggle. And what do we do in the midst of that? Well, we don't need to try and pretend that it is all okay, and that we are feeling blessed and feeling like everything's wonderful. We don't need to give up on the promise that's offered in Psalm 1 either. But actually, as we come to it, Psalm 1 can help inform our prayers. Because actually we can come to God, and as we're following him, as we're seeking in him, we can ask the question, oh, excuse me, Lord, what about what you said in Psalm 1 about this blessed life? Because I'm not feeling it right now. And actually, as we go through the Psalms, we see perhaps some of the ones that are sometimes the most difficult are the ones that are the most gritty, that ask far stronger questions than, excuse me, Lord, what about? The Psalms really deal in the reality of life, of struggle, of hardship, of when things aren't the way that we feel they should be. And as we go through, we'll explore more of those together. But that doesn't take away from what we're offered in Psalm 1. The Psalm 1 presents us with a choice. Blessed is the one. We're offered the way to a blessed year, to a blessed life, to this fruitful, sustained life in God. But it presents us too with the fact that the choice is ours. The choice as to how we'll live is yours. It doesn't make it complicated. It presents it as something very simple. There's one way or another. Just as Jesus presents us to, which way will you choose? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have blessed us, and the way that you blessed us through others. And Lord, we ask that you would help us as we begin this year to make choices to seek you, to delight in you, to talk about your teaching day and night, and to make you the greatest influence in our life. And as we continue in worship, would you speak to us? Would you strengthen us by your Spirit and help us to follow you each day? Amen.